series here called The Plumb Line. And I'm telling you, that is an ancient measuring instrument, and it helps keeps things on the level. So this series is about Bible doctrine. The word doctrine, you probably know by now, it simply means teaching. So we are teaching you the basics of the Bible because the Bible says it's a good thing for a heart to be grounded and established in truth. Now, I have chosen this passage to open up with Matthew 8. I'm going to start in verse 16 and read verse 17 and then pray. It says that when evening come, that they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Yeah, let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that your blood would be in effect this morning for the healing of our minds, our will, our emotion, our physical bodies. I pray that we'd have revelation, insight in the scriptures. And I thank you that the same Jesus who is yesterday, today, and forever, he's here this morning, he's a healer, and we thank you for the word of God today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So I was contacted by Facebook. They wanted me to take a poll, and they were asking me, you know, the best thing about Facebook, which is Facebook Marketplace. Actually, you know, there's something else I like about Facebook. And that's sometimes you come across a story someone shared. Now, about a month ago, I came across a story from my friend Whitney. She's a nurse in Dillon. Now, she was sharing this story about a friend of hers who had a little 8-year-old boy, and they were out camping near Pipestone, which is an ATV campground area near Butte. And the little boy got in a horrible accident. The ATV had rolled over him, and he had to be life flown to Salt Lake. And so she was like, hey, will you pray for me? So, of course, that went viral, man. She's spreading it around. People were praying, And she said the next day, I'm here to tell you that he started really getting a whole lot better. Like the doctors were impressed from the time that it happened to when they got him. And so about a month later now, she was able to testify that he'd been through surgeries. He had, you know, have reconstruction take place in certain areas of his body. But he was sore, but he was going to make a full recovery. And she attributed that recovery to so many people who stepped up and prayed. The doctor said it was a true miracle to see that he was not worse off than he was. But that story moved me. You know, I've got children, and so it got me praying. And among the more criticized and misunderstood doctrines of the Bible is a subject called divine healing. I've had conversations with people who critique the idea or don't understand it. And so, you know, it's strange. I felt strongly impressed to teach on that subject this morning. I thought, well, you know, we're going to appear on the 4th of July, but that verse came to me about, like, healing our land. And then I was thinking, you know, if you didn't know, I'd come down with some kind of like sickness in my own, you know, life. And I thought, is this really the time to preach on this? And I felt the Lord impress me. So this morning, what I'm going to do is I am going to give you a hearing about healing. You know, my dad was a lawyer. So I've been to court proceedings. And this morning, I want to build a case for you. And then I'm going to present it to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury today, all right? So the first piece of evidence I'm going to submit is found in the book of Romans chapter 5. I'll come back to Matthew here in a little while, but Romans is the most important doctrinal work in the Bible. And this chapter 5, I think I've already cited this verse in this series because it's got such profound doctrinal implications. But I'll read it again, Romans 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death came through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sin. Now, here's the point we want to make, that sickness and death are a curse. Death is the end of life, and in case you didn't know, life is brief. It's fragile. And Satan wants to snuff it out, and we use all kinds of various means and methodology to do that. So sickness and disease is one of the things that he uses with all of its ills and afflictions. It's a condition that affects your body and brings it into deterioration. But God is the author and the giver of life. And Jesus, the Bible says in 1 John 3, came to destroy the works of the devil. If you want to know what Satan is like, just look in the book of Job. I mean, there in Job, you see that he came upon Job. He brought destruction to his health and his finances. He killed his family. And that's what Satan will do if he's given enough opportunity. Divine health, I believe, is something covered in the atonement. Everyone say atonement. You know, it's funny living with like 11-year-old boys. You get knocked on the door, you know, like 10 o'clock at night. We're ready for bed. I hear a knock on the door. We're like, go to bed. And he burst into the room and he said, Dad, Mom, what is the atonement? Because at night he likes to read through the Bible. He found himself in Leviticus 16. So I'm not going to get mad about that. And I said, all right, so atonement, that's a great question, good word. At-one-ment, like you're at one with God. It's God's way of bringing you into oneness with him. And Adam's sin is what separated us from that. His sin opened the door for disease and death. There's no sickness in the Garden of Eden. It's a perfect state when it was created. That's why when God saw that garden, he said, it is very good. And that whole picturesque ideal state reveals this ideal relationship between God and man. Sickness and death exist as a consequence of the curse. They are evidence of a fallen world. They affect and afflict mankind. And this is the explanation that we have for the world around us. Why are some people afflicted with sickness? Why does it seem that someone might die a premature, painful death? And it stems from the fallen condition of humanity. This is one of the reasons why I believe in the Bible, right? Because it's an explanation for why things are the way they are in the world that we live in. It's a biblical worldview that the sin that Adam experienced has far-reaching consequences. Now, I'm grateful to live in America in times like this. I mean, we've got incredible medical advances. I've been to the South Sudanese border. I've been to places like Nepal where, you know, it's pretty sketchy. There's not a lot of, you know, it's very primitive medically. By the way, you can't even get into parts of Africa without certain vaccines. So to go to places like Tanzania, they have like yellow fever that it's out of control sometimes through mosquitoes, and they don't have a way to deal with it. And so the only way you can get over there is with certain medical requirements. Now, in America, you know, we've got an amazing time we live in. My son Titus, when he was born prematurely. He had to be in the neonatal intensive care unit for 40 days. And I just remember how difficult that was. But I told the doctors when we were going through operations and procedures, the Bible says in the book of Daniel that in the last days, knowledge would have an exponential increase. And it made me think about how incredible this moment in time is where we have such great technology. And I'm sure grateful to live in America. I mean, we got to celebrate the 4th of July this weekend. But I am more grateful for the blood of Jesus. You know that? That purchased my eternal redemption. So sickness and death stem from the curse that came. And as long as you're in the world, there's sort of a reality with that. Think about what Jesus said in John 12. He said, the poor you will have with you always. And unfortunately, in this world, sickness and disease do exist. And it's something that is real. And that's why we are here to pray about it. Now, the second bit of evidence I want to introduce before you is in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Let's go to Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, like Romans 5, has major, major doctrinal implications. And I love the 13th verse of Galatians 3. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. And then he cites the book of Deuteronomy. He says, it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So here's the second bit of information, the second evidence I want to introduce, that Christ was made to be a curse for us. So yeah, that word curse, it's an evil or a misfortune that occurs. It's the consequences that stem, from the sinfulness of the world. Now, Paul did something interesting here. He's quoting Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. And right there, hidden, tucked away in an obscure passage of Scripture in the Old Testament is a major clue about the crucifixion, the cross. It tells us that a body like Jesus that was hung on a tree was subject to a curse. If you know your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that Jesus had the sin of the world come upon him. That is an incredible mystery. That we read that in Peter, that sin came upon the body of Jesus as he hung on a tree. And the Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 21 here that it could not remain there overnight, but it had to be buried. Exactly what happened to Jesus' body. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word redemption, that's a beautiful thing. It means that you've regained possession of something in exchange for a payment. So what does it mean to be redeemed? Scripture says in the Psalms that the redemption of our souls was costly. It costs God a great amount. And that means it has far-reaching ramifications, that its implications are deep and wide. It's multifaceted, right? So let's look at the 14th verse. He said that he's redeemed us from the curse of the law, verse 14. So the blessing of Abraham, someone say the blessing of Abraham. might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's me, all right? That's someone who's not Jewish, that means it's available to everybody. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith in him. I like that. The promise of the Spirit. God promised the Holy Spirit to his children. He called it the down payment of his purchased possession. The indwelling Holy Spirit you have in you is proof that God is serious. It's like the earnest money you put down in a home. If you've ever bought a home, you put down a down payment, some money, and you're signifying, I am all in. My chips are on the table. My intention is to buy this house. And when God gave us the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is that he is dead serious. His intention to come into your life and build you up is a real thing. He wants to work on your behalf, right? He talked about here the blessing of Abraham. Abraham was a blessed man. He's blessed with herds. He's blessed with livestock. That's what the scripture says. And what this tells me is that God has redeemed us from things like poverty. In a nutshell, what it means to be redeemed from the curse of the law and have the blessing of Abraham on your life is that you have more than enough to meet your needs and the needs of other people. I mean, I tell you something. I've lived, 40-some-odd years of my life, and that has been an experience I've had. I've had grandparents and parents, and they've all known the Lord and served him, and I've experienced God's blessing. Even in my own life, sometimes it's been tight when you got little children, and they're hungry all the time, and as they get older, they even eat more. It's crazy. But I've had enough to feed them and meet their needs and meet the needs of people around me and be a blessing, and that's God's way of bringing abundance in your life, and the scripture says that could be yours. See, where there once was a curse, God is the one who gives blessing. Think about this. Abundance in the place of poverty, right? Life in the place of death, because one day this whole body of yours is going to be glorified, resurrected, and your full redemption will be available. There's forgiveness in the place of sin. Well, how wonderful is it to have a cleansed conscience? That is available in God's plan of redemption. There's glory in the place of shame, which means you can be radiant with the goodness of God in your life. There's acceptance in the place of rejection so that you can experience the peace of God. And I came here this morning to tell you that there is healing in the place of sickness. I'm just building the case for you right here, right? Christ was made to be a curse for us so that we could experience the blessings of God. Third piece of evidence we're going to submit, all right? And I'm reading two verses. 1 Peter 2:24. That's a verse I read earlier, and then the one we opened up with in Matthew 8. I'm going to read them back to back. So 1 Peter 2:24, it says that Jesus bore his sin, our sin, in his own body on the tree, on the cross, and that we who died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So then Matthew, he's going to quote from Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, 17, and it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So just like on Law and Order, all right, we are building the case, and I'm presenting it out here to the jury. Here's the third thing that I want to present to you, that Jesus made provision for us to be healed. He made it possible for us to be sound and healthy, and he made a way for us to have health and healing. He says of himself in the book of Exodus chapter 15, I am the Lord who heals you. So, healing is a broad subject, and it has a lot of complexities to it. That's why it is a very criticized, misunderstood doctrine that a lot of people question, right? So there's four basic kinds of healing, all right, that I want to highlight. That means there's four ways you can pray. Now, I have discovered not everyone has a deep ministry in these areas. Not everyone has maybe a deep revelation about how and why. Maybe you're dealing with something. That's what makes things, difficult to discern. The first sickness that we could highlight would be like the sickness in your own spirit, which is caused by personal sin, all right? Things like strife. Isn't it funny how some people love to get in arguments? You ever met someone like that? They are filled with strife, and I'm just dealing with a situation like that. No matter what you do, there's always strife. And maybe the sin you might be faced with is things like envy and jealousy. And I mean, that's what's really driving your ambition to have things. Or selfishness in your life, which makes you a tyrant and difficult to live with. That's called personal sin. Sometimes when God is speaking to you because he gives you like phrases from the Bible. And I'm old enough now. I did grow up here in the old translation taught in church. So I kept hearing this phrase about all manner of concupiscence. You ever heard the word concupiscence? That's from the book of Romans, chapter 8. I had to look up that verse about what it means is a desire and an inclination for sin. It's the human condition that desires sin. And I was just thinking about that. That's kind of the way sometimes people are naturally prone They have a desire to sin. And what that requires is a prayer of repentance. So if you're dealing with the sickness in a person's spirit, this is where repentance comes in. This is how you came to the Lord. You repented. You saw that you had a need for a Savior. That became real to your spiritual eyes, and you turned your life towards Him by faith, right? And on a personal level, this is how you grow closer to the Lord. When He reveals sin in your life, it's like you want to make adjustments and turn towards Him. So he has to show that to you through spiritual eyes. You have to be a discerning person. If God has something He wants to deal with, the Holy Spirit will show it to you. And listen, this happens to me. I just had this happen to me recently. I had the Lord highlight something in my own life. It was dealing with something called pride. You ever had that issue? And I realized my problem here is I'm filled with pride, all right? And that was something that I needed to take on. And you know what? It brings healing, maybe to a personal life, to a relationship, something that you need. It's a prayer of repentance. Don't do that. Second kind of healing. And this would deal with like emotional sickness, all right, caused by the trauma and the pain of the past. I'm sort of amused when I come across people who either minimalize, you know, pains from the past, or they disregard it as something. And often, unbeknownst to them, those same people who are critical of it are dealing with trauma in their own past, and that's what's pushing them to make foolish decisions and act like, you know, wild people. Maybe you struggled financially as a kid, and so you're overcompensating people around you. You're overdoing it, getting yourself in trouble. Or maybe you were spoiled as a kid, and so you end up feeling depressed all the time and can't figure out why. Or maybe you felt rejected by a parent, and so you are out looking for love in all the wrong places. And what's happening is there's emotional turmoil at work, and what it requires is a prayer for inner healing. This would deal with your emotions. And I have seen God heal people this way. I myself have experienced healing like this. But this affects so many people. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, a moment in time. I don't know. I was like 20. You know, when you're 20, it's like a hard state in life, right? Because you just think you know everything. And so it creates all kinds of strife and drama around you. And I was having trouble with my dad. I was feeling, you know, just this frustration. I had a bit of what I could call father fracture, where I just didn't feel loved by him, and I couldn't quite figure out why I was feeling that way. And I remember I was praying about it. I was in my room praying. I remember in that moment, a memory came to me. Now, if you're ever praying, and you're going through a moment, and a memory comes to you, you need to be sensitive, because that could well be the Holy Spirit showing you. And I had never had this thought before, but suddenly I went back to 1986 at the California Angels baseball game. And my dad, he loved baseball. We go to California to see everybody. I'm at the baseball game, and I think I made my dad and my grandpa leave in the fourth inning because I was cold and didn't want to be at the baseball game. But it was a big deal to dad. He got to go hang out with his dad. I made him leave the game early. I remember he was very disappointed, and somehow that sense of rejection had affected me. This is what's hard dealing with people, because there's really no control of that as a parent. And these are mysterious things. Sometimes a situation, a memory, or an event will happen, and Satan, being sneaky and a coward, will sneak in, and he'll start planting seeds of distrust in people. That's how he does it. He looks for weak moments, which is why if something like that ever comes up, the thing to do is to acknowledge it, pray, get healing from it, and God can heal you from that. I don't know why that happens with children. You don't mean to do it. You don't mean to have these things, but sometimes an event will take place, it's misinterpreted, and the enemy will play into it. Well, I got healed from that, and it was like my relationship with my dad went to a whole new level. And I experienced that in that simple way in healing of my emotions. Now, third level of healing right here. And this deals with the physical things, physical sicknesses. Maybe it's caused by diseases or accidents. Diseases. Like when you come down with the flu in the middle of the summer, which is a horrible thing. Titus got sick. And then Elizabeth got sick, and she got really sick. Like, out for 2 weeks, and then it came for me. And I don't know what happened. I had to finally go to the doctor. They diagnosed me with double pneumonia. I couldn't believe that. So, well, you know what? We're all right. We got through it. The Lord healed my body. I don't know what that's from, that curse and the devil. Maybe it's accidents. I was thinking about great 4th of July memories playing baseball. I was out one time playing. I was just reliving this with my sister Jessica. Up that ball went, swing and a miss, and I swung that bat around. And she was too close to me. I remember I cold clocked her in the jaw with a baseball bat. It was fun to watch her fly back. But that did cause some real pain right there. Accidents happen to people, right? And then that requires physical prayer for your healing in your body, right? Prayer for healing in your body. People do love to witness it when someone gets healed. It's a miracle. And I've been to meetings, I've seen that. I was in California one time. I saw a woman stand up in a wheelchair. Everyone started crying because you could almost hear like her spine come back into place as she stood up. Everyone was shocked. It was an amazing thing. One time in India, we had a man, and he just started crying. He could put up his arm. He is still played. He couldn't move it above his head. He's crying. He could go back to work. There was a woman at the meeting who was healed of an issue of blood. She stood up in the meeting, interrupted it because God had touched her body. And I remember one time I got bucked off a horse in the fifth grade. I went to prayer, a youth group, with a little cast on my arm, and they asked what happened. And I told them, and the pastor came over. He prayed for me. I felt my arm get hot. And I was in fifth grade, had enough faith to just say, I'm taking it. That I took that cast off. I came home. Mom and Dad said, where's your cast? I said, it's in the trash. I'm fine. It was easy to receive in that moment, right? And I'm just telling you, it is easy for God to heal your physical body as it is for him to heal your emotions, right? Now, here's another area, right? The fourth area, demonic oppression. This is caused by various ways. And demonic oppression is like a different sermon topic. So one thing I have noticed is that for every, you know, 3 out of 4 healings in the Bible, when Jesus is, there's often demons that are dealt with right there. So we read that in Matthew 8 and verse 16. It was a spirit that was affecting people. He prayed for deliverance and healing. Not all sickness, obviously, is caused from demons, but it might surprise you to know that there are spirits that might be affecting a physical body, a physical issue in your life. And what this requires is a prayer for deliverance. It's called an exorcism. Now, I have had to do this, and I think one of my more interesting experiences was that night on Christmas Day when the foster kid we had staying at my mom's house started manifesting demons, and we had to cast the devil out of him, and his response to us saying, come out of him in Jesus' name, was to jump out of the second story window. He went jumping out that window. He didn't make it. He landed on his back, and the glass shard went all the way up. We had to pick him up. He's bleeding everywhere. And we had to hold him down with towels. The ambulance came to get him 40 stitches later, almost a punctured lung. It was a remarkable thing. But it gave me this clue that when demons get involved, they want to physically destroy people's bodies. They want to hurt your body. That's evidence throughout the scripture. I've seen it, right? So Jesus made provision for us to be healed. I like how the Bible says there's healing in his wings and in his name. And if you need healing in any area, deliverance or your body or your emotions, just say the name of Jesus, right? Just say that name. Sometimes when you're afflicted or in a difficult spot, if you say the name of Jesus, he brings peace to it. Now, our fourth and final bit of evidence I want to present to you is in the book of James, chapter 5. Now, James is loaded. You know, James is called the Proverbs of the New Testament because he's filled with such wisdom. And I like this section in James 5. James 5, verse 14. All right. Here's the last point I want to make. James 5, 14. Is anyone among you sick? Now, I've met people who say, well, I'll never get sick. My faith is too strong. I think, really? Well, why does the Bible tell us that there are people at church who are sick? Or why did Paul leave traveling companions sick on the journey? He left Trophimus and Miletus sick. It happens in life to people, right? So he said, if there are sickness, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Which is why we got oil up in this church, right? And we could add this to the ordinance of the church. I'm going to be doing, in this series here, the church ordinances, water baptisms, things like that. Like, and we could add praying for the sick. That is a distinctive that is unique to Christianity. It tells us in verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of faith. All right, so healing is received by faith. Now, some people get this idea that faith is like something you got to muster up and you got to concentrate. You really got to focus. And that's not faith, all right? Let me just tell you what faith is. It's trusting. It's resting. It's an anticipation that God will do something. And the thing I've noticed about healing is that it tends to be a progressive thing. And what prayer does is it bolsters that healing. In fact, when I was praying this morning, I had this very strong suspicion that God wants to heal people, but he is going to do it progressively. That hit me very strongly. I was thinking about my friend Paul Blady praying for him. And that there's just something about when God starts healing you, it gets better and better and better and better. So he said the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And he said if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Now, that's an interesting verse. It implies that perhaps certain sins may cause a sickness, all right? Did you know the scripture says about communion that if you take it in an unworthy manner, it might bring sickness to a person. That foster kid I was telling you about that jumped out the window full of demons, he had gone to Christmas Eve service with us, and he's not a believer, and he took communion. And I can't help but think that brought that into his life. All right? Here's a verse for you. Acts chapter 12, there was a man named King Herod, and it says that he did not give glory to God, and as a result, God struck him, and he was eaten by worms and died. And I'd rather die in my sleep. That's just me. Being eaten by worms sounds horrible, but that's what happened. It was some kind of sickness that came upon him because he was in a sin area of his life. You don't believe me? You don't think that could happen? Read the next verse right here. He said, confess your trespasses to one another and pray that you might be healed. Now, I will never forget the night when God visited me, and he wanted me to tell my parents about when they left on vacation and I threw big parties, and he wanted me to tell them what I did, and I did not want to tell them. I was like, no, they'd be horrified. But he wouldn't let go of me. So I remember I sat down with him. I was like, Mom, Dad, man, remember that time you left? This is what I did. But you know what was amazing is it brought incredible healing to that relationship. It healed my heart. It healed the situation. I found them to be incredibly gracious. So when you pray, sometimes the confessing of a fault, a sin, may be the thing that's stopping you from being healed. And it tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, which means if you are living godly and you are praying fervently and believing God, he is ever present to heal. Here's the last point I want to make for you, all right? Christians should pray for the sick, all right? Christians should pray for the sick. That's what's the point here. He didn't say preachers. He said elders. So that implies like everyday, ordinary people leading the church, right? Praying for the sick is part and parcel of the gospel. That's why Jesus said, as you go, preach, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, heal the sick and cleanse lepers, right? So you should not think of healing as some far out supernatural thing that's like, you know, happens selectively. This is highly practical, and you're going to be faced on a daily basis with people, maybe yourself, that are going through something. So the Lord has committed the healing ministry to other people, to you. You should pray for the sick. Sometimes we don't pray for the sick because we have objections or prejudices against it, like we think we're not godly enough. But let me just remind you that God did not limit himself to extraordinary people. All right, he is present and here with you, and he wants to use you. And you know, we think that maybe only men of God and preachers can do things like that, but he is not a respecter of persons. Or sometimes people get in false doctrines where they think the sickness they have is from God, and that is not the case. You will never find one example in Scripture where God ever put sickness on someone. That's a wrong teaching. It may come as a consequence of something, but God in the Bible is the one who's delivering people and healing people. Because here's what I believe. I believe it's God's will to heal the sick, all right? That's my conviction based upon Scripture. Jesus is the express representation of God the Father. That's Hebrews 1. That means that whatever you see Jesus doing reveals the will of God. And the Bible says in Acts 10, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So here's a sad reality. Not everyone is healed. That is a reality you have to face. Sometimes there are reasons people don't get healed. It could be a hidden sin. Like you've been sleeping around with people you ain't married to and you won't ever talk about that. It's an unconfessed sin. You're doing something, lying on your taxes, trying to ask God for more money, wondering why something doesn't happen. Sometimes people aren't healed because of bad life choices. Like you're eating fast food every chance you get and have Mountain Dew for breakfast and haven't visited the gym since the eighth grade. And you want God to touch you. And sometimes it's, you know, just bad life choices you make. But sometimes these things are mysterious and you may never know why. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 29. The secret things belong to God. Healing can be quite mysterious. That's why people struggle with it. Now, I'll tell you what's a mystery to me. I'm up here preaching 2 weeks ago. I'm horribly sick with what apparently was double pneumonia. But somehow, as I'm preaching, all of a sudden, my voice got stronger and things got better. And I can only chalk that up to God's grace and the anointing being on me in the moment to help me get through that. And the mysterious thing is that happens when you're preaching, but I was coughing before the service and I was coughing after the service. And I'm like, how does that happen? These are mysterious things. It's just sometimes the way it happens in life. So no, not everyone does get healed. But I keep on praying for the sick. And I'll tell you why. Because Christ is healing people in our day. You know, I got to go down to St. Vincent Hospital. Now it's Intermountain, right? It'll always be St. Vincent to me. And I ran into my homeboy, John James, Pastor James. He's 83. He was the chaplain of the Boys and Girls Ranch when I was out there at Elder Grove. And I know him because his kid Aaron was the class ahead of me. And we'd play basketball together. And Aaron had to go in for brain surgery, right? So he'd play basketball with a bike helmet on. And he got made fun of. But hey, if you had brain surgery and you survive, it's a wonderful thing. Pastor Jameson, he's been there for 17 years as a chaplain. Now, he's up there praying for people who are sick. They can say statistically that 80% of people who receive prayer recover at a faster rate. You want to explain that to me? Yeah. I'm just amazed at how God does these things. Like, so he's on there. He loves to go around and pray for people, and I appreciate him. And, you know, I speaking of brain surgery, I remember when my mom had brain surgery, and she's in that 1% of people who are totally recovered and well, and I thank God for that. I thank God we get to live in a remarkable moment in time. You know, just technology, that's great, but I want to remind you that you and I need to pray for the sick because God is still in the healing business. So he heals little girls who put their fingers in light switches. That happened to Abigail the other night, and I came in crying, and she'd gotten her finger in there, and she said, I didn't know that it would electrocute me. And he heals little boys who get, you know, rolled over on ATV wrecks. He heals moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and heals grandmas from brain aneurysms. And the Bible says, I'm the Lord who heals all your diseases. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have presented to you the evidence. And sickness and death came as a result of the curse. They are, in effect, as long as we live in the world. That's why germs exist. That's why diseases exist. So that's why you might come down with the flu or sore throats and strep. It's from the curse. And Christ was made to be a curse in our place. On the cross, Jesus made provision for us to be healed. And he is still healing people today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as a result of that, I'm just telling you that you and I should pray for the sick. It is a big part of Scripture. And I want to reiterate the book of James, chapter 5, right? Is there anyone sick among you? And I'm willing to wager. In fact, I know there's people here this morning. Maybe you've got some kind of thing in your body. And I want to offer anybody who wants prayer for their body this morning to get prayed for. I've got oil. I've even got elders that are here. We've taught the scriptures to you. And I just believe, this is what I firmly believe, that God will heal your body. He will touch you. And, you know, I believe that the Lord can heal you. From the moment you start leaving here until you go home tonight, tomorrow, that you can progressively get better. I've seen him do it. He's done that in my life many, many times. And I love to pray for people. There's nothing more wonderful than praying for people who need prayer. God can touch you. So I'd like you to stand up this morning. And listen, I've got people who can pray. Now, I have a friend over here, my friend Paul Walter. He loves to pray for sick people. He is loaded for prayer. He can come down and pray with us as well. He prays for people. They get healed. It happens all the time. So I want to challenge you. If you got something that you want prayer for, we would love to pray for you. Maybe you feel defeated by it. I can't ever get healed of this or free of this. But I'm just telling you, the Lord can touch your body, and it would be the most wonderful thing to just keep praying and pressing in and going after God and asking God, touch me, heal my body. That's what I do with God sometimes when I'm in a weak moment. I say, Lord, help me, pray. I pray, and I receive your healing, and I just stay after it. Sometimes that's the whole thing, is just staying after it. So I want to open the altars up, and I want to invite Daniel and David down, and Pastor Daniel, David, and Paul Blady, and Paul Walter, if you'd like to pray too. I'd just like to have, I've got oil, so I think the oil, someone confused my oil for liquor bottles this morning. Can you believe that? Those are not liquor bottles. Those are oil. We're going to pray for sick people this morning. So if you want prayer, I want you to come down, and we'll pray with you. And if you're going to take off, I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We love you, man. Hope that you enjoy the wonderful time that you had. So I want to invite you to come on out. We'll just form a lineup, or you can come pray. I'll get David over here, Daniel over here, Paul. And we'll just pray. So bring me some oil and a water. Thank you. All right. Yeah, feel free to stick around, hang out, and pray with us, because we're going to pray for whoever would like it today in Jesus' name.